Boston and surrounding areas. It is Rick Shirt, Ken Laird, three-time Super Bowl champion Ted Johnson, right here on 93.7 WEEI, and your wonderful calls at 617-779-7937. If you want to consume us in another form, you can do it via the Odyssey app. You just listen to the show that way. You can have it shot right to your phone. And you can also leave us a message, press that microphone button, and we launch them take grenades in the 5 o'clock hour. And right now, we are broadcasting from the Ford Clubhouse Fenway Studio, brought to you by your New England Ford dealers and employee pricing for all. You pay what we pay. Ford, the official vehicle of Major League Baseball and that dirty water. Gentlemen, have you heard the talk? Have you heard? Are they going to boo? Have you heard the talk at all today by any chance, gentlemen down at Fenway?
Now, don't mock that, Rich. This is a sports radio topic that I actually am interested in. Are you not? Do I take it by your tone? You don't want to get into this today?
No. I'll get into it perfectly fine. But I mean, to be quite honest, it's like, you know, it's literally consumed my feed. It's consumed my everything I hear is I mean, I. Honestly, there hasn't been this much anticipation for something non-sports at a sporting event in who knows how the hell long. But it's going to be interesting. The big old tub of goo Rafael Devers is showing up. we'll see how the crowd reacts.
Why I find it interesting is it's a very tough choice, I think. I mean, Ted, I've never been divorced. I know, unfortunately, you had one on the hopper, right?
So. It set me back. A couple lifetimes.
Yep. Day and over, I'm probably going to join. I mean, who knows? I mean, I hope not, but you never know.
I hope not, brother.
Okay, so when you get divorced, there are a lot of emotions. There are a lot of feelings. Did one person jilt the other side? Who's to blame? Mm-hmm. Who's responsible?
Yep.
In this case, it's very tough to really drill down on who is at fault here, right?
I look at how many years, 9 years of service. Didn't the Red Sox draft him, develop him?
Sure did, yeah.
That's, you know, he's homegrown. I know at the very, very end, it did not look good, but I just think, man, that shouldn't totally take away from the 8.5 previous years that he was here and considered, you know, one of the best players on his team. And for a couple of years, he was considered the face of this team. So I don't know. I just would lean more towards not booing, but my guess is there will be a spattering of boos tonight, Rich.
Well, let's get into it, shall we? Some sports did indeed happen and will happen. There you go, Jackson. Why don't you trigger that sucker right
there? What just happened?
Sports happen.
Oh, yes. And Sports Happened is brought to you by Jeffrey Glassman Injury Lawyers, Boston's go-to injury attorney for over 30 years. If you've been hurt in a car or work accident, you got to get Glassman. Call all sevens at 617-777-7777. Well, tonight, one of the best hitters in Red Sox history returns home and is probably going to get booed. Jackson.
2-1. There's a shot. That one driven to center field. Backing up. It's gone! Home run! There's Finnegan's rainbow right there!
I told you, he's the man! Is he the man or what?
Rafael Devers destroys one to center field, and the Red Sox are in front!
Split me. That's what I'm.
Eckersley just getting all hot and bothered as if he was like waxing down his Trans Am in his front yard with that super awesome stuff. I love Eckersley. I do. And back in the day, when he was in the booth, it was so much fun to listen to the guy. I mean, he was so into it. But I would just like to warn Rafael Devers that there is a very mean man with his embarrassed 12-year-old son sitting five rows behind the dugout, we have learned, who's most likely going to give you the what for this evening. Only 9 players in the 126-year history of the Red Sox hit more home runs than Rafael Devers. Yet things, of course, ended with a big fat thud here in Boston. And it all seemed to go downhill when it was like, what, Alex Bregman, wasn't that the first? He's brought in to play third base, and then Devers right. like, hell no, I'm not going to do that. He resisted becoming the DH, but finally did it before opening day. And that wasn't the Tristan Costas thing next, where he had ended that season-ending injury, and then the Sox wanted Devers to move to first, and he said, hell no, I'm not going to do that. Right. And then John Henry even personally flew to Kansas City to ask Devers to go play first, and after John Henry gave him a warm Werther's original from his pocket, Devers, of course, then declined. And even Craig Breslow, I remember, called him out by suggesting that Devers hurt the team's culture, saying, remember there was something amiss here? Do you guys remember when Breslow said that about Devers at the time?
Right. They couldn't find alignment. There was a lot of stuff going on behind the scenes. In fact, we had Cora on. They were obviously flirting with Bregman. It was well known. We had Cora on at Winter Weekend, And we asked them, you know, hey, what's going on? Have you talked to Devers about this, if Bregman should join? And he said, not yet. You know, we're just, you know, nothing's happened yet. So they waited too long.
Yeah.
I don't know, Ted, have you been in a situation like this, like with somebody coming in to maybe take your job and it's just the communication's not there? There was definitely blame in the organization for how they handled it.
It's tough. I mean, Bregman was signed literally the day before training camp, I think, started. So it was, you know, the communication, I don't know. I mean, my feeling is there wasn't great communication. But these, I don't know, some of these guys, like, so what? You're paying a ridiculous, I mean, he had a $300 million contract. Okay, so they're paying you to work less. I mean, what the hell is the issue with that, dude? Like, you literally don't have to play the field anymore, bro. But you're still going to make, we're not going to take money away from you. You're going to keep the same money you were making as if you were playing third base. But no, he got all butthurt about it. Sometimes I just, you know, have a hard time with guys that they think they are more important than the team. You know, they have a contract, fulfill it, shut up, do your job, and then go on.
But he wasn't playing less. At some point, they asked him to play more and take on a new role.
Okay, the first base.
The first base.
Fair. That's fair. Okay.
But he said no to both. Like, he said no to DH, and then he said no to first base. So, I mean, it's like he just said no to everything. Like, he wanted to do what he wanted to do. Yeah. And what's so awesome about Devers, too, is that, like, as soon as he got traded, he was playing first base for San Francisco. Right. Like, he's like, okay.
Well, that was retaliation.
You saw that coming.
He said it was the favorite season of his career,
And the hard part, too, is the dynamic was, it was there was up-and-coming young guys that were going to be, you know, potential superstars, we all thought. So it was a bad look for a veteran to be selfish when the whole team's identity was wrapped up around, you know, unselfishness and new guys. So it was just a kind of confluence of a lot of different things all at once that made his exit, I think, look pretty bad.
But you know what's been so great to watch is that the attitude problems continued. I know you saw that video in June where, you know, Devers publicly showed up, the manager, Tony Vitello, after, like, there was a pinch runner that was coming in for him, and he attempted to send him back to the dugout, wagging his finger at the manager. And I believe that's a rookie manager, isn't it, Ken? Like this is like his,
definitely is. Yeah, he's all a new guy,
Then what like a jerk move. And so you saw that going around. You're like, okay, well, Devers obviously hasn't changed. And the Giants, I guess, reportedly shopped him at the trade deadline. But, you know, surprisingly, couldn't find another team willing to take on that contract, which is just absurd. I had to look it back up to remember how much it was. But the dude signed until 2033 at an average of $32 million dollars a season.
Ooh,
now,
way to go, Buster. Good one. Good one, bud.
But he's been pretty good this season. Like, he's, you know, hitting .244. He's got 25 dongs. He strikes out a lot, though, like a ton, like 141 right now. So.
Sounds like it's on brand. Where's he playing in the field? Is he playing first base?
Looking that up right now. So he's played a lot of first base. So this year he's played first 28 games. He's more than that, 89 games. 89 games this year. Yeah, mostly first.
Okay.
38 at DH.
All right.
All right, so Ted, you don't think the people are going, or you don't think the people should boo. Ken, where do you stand on this?
I would not boo. I think there's enough blame on Cora. And by the way, I think the organization, I don't know, this didn't lead directly to Cora getting fired, but I think this started part of the problems. Bregman was not re-signed this year. Why? That was Cora's guy. Breslow wasn't on board. He might have been forced to take him on a year earlier. It made them look bad.
Yep.
Obviously, they blamed Devers to a certain extent because they traded him. But it was Cora didn't handle this well. I like Cora, but this was a screw up by him, and it cost them, as you said, Ted, the face of the franchise. Yeah. So there's enough murky waters there that I would just kind of stand and give them a slight applause and sit back down. You know?
I've got a problem with Red Sox fans booing Rafael Devers tonight, and it's not because you have to cheer him. You don't. You can be pissed about how it ended. You can think he handled parts of it badly. You can think the Red Sox handled parts of it badly. You can be perfectly happy that he's gone. But booing Rafael Devers, I mean, come on. We are cheapening the boo here in Boston. The Boston boo used to mean something. Well, you had to earn that thing.
Right.
You know, it's like Kyrie Irving earned the boo. The guy tells everybody he wants to resign here, makes the whole commercial about having his number retired in Boston, mails it in against Milwaukee, bolts for Brooklyn, then comes back and wipes his shoe on Lucky. Boo! That's what the boo is for.
It cheapens the boost. You're right. It does.
It does. It totally does. Yeah. Oh, Matt Cook, the guy whose hit effectively ended Mark Savard's career. Oof. You don't boo Matt Cook because you're disappointed in him. You boo Matt Cook because for 3 hours you have been granted this socially acceptable permission to communicate pure hatred. through one single word. Boo! Alex Rodriguez, absolutely, because he sucks. Roger Clemens, you know, that's another good one. Coming
what
back
Adam
in a Yankees uniform.
Adam Vinatieri.
Oh, no, of course not Adam Vinatieri. No, no. But, like, you know, Clemens in a Yankees uniform, those are Boston boos. Yeah. But Rafael Devers, I mean, the dude was here 9 years. He won a World Series. He embarrassed Gerrit Cole. He, like, played, like, what, 1,000-something games for the Sox? And then the relationship went bad. That's it. It was a messy breakup. Since when do we boo everybody there's a messy relationship with? The boo needs standards, okay? Like, otherwise, well,
okay,
what are
but,
we doing?
I agree. But now, so you bring up the Bruins. Sean Thornton used to take matters into his own hands. Unfortunately, Brooks Orpik was the bad end of that in a kind of an ugly scene. Would Wilson Contreras or Sonny Gray take it upon themselves to send a little message on behalf of the organization tonight? Some of your current leaders, you know, let the players handle it.
Yes, it's the same exact thing as the Sean Thornton Brooks. Exactly the same thing.
I'm just saying.
You know what, though? But,
you know, he refused the owners. So
but it's true, work, though. Like, that, you know, you they're,
I like
we
it,
need
Dan,
levels.
I like it.
We need levels of the Boston boo. It's like, you betrayed us? Boo. You intentionally antagonized us afterwards after you left? Boo. You, like, you took a cheap shot at one of our players, just like you were saying. Boo. But you played here for 9 years, yet you helped win a championship. You hit like a buttload of home runs and then got into a dysfunctional peeing match with the front office and got traded. Listen, maybe we're not going to throw you a parade or anything, but you don't have to act like, you know, he killed a guy. And that's, and that is my problem with booing Devers. It's like, you're wasting a perfectly good boo. The boo is one of our most precious natural resources that Boston has. Protect it. Conserve it, because in January you're gonna have Michael Jordan wannabe LeBron James gonna walk through the TD Garden, and when that happens, I don't want all our boos worn out on Rafael Devers.
Oh,
you
I,
save
I,
it for this moron.
Now, do you think LeBron more than Jalen is gonna get booed?
Jalen's not gonna get booed. Jalen's not gonna get. He's not gonna get booed.
Ted's gonna boo him himself.
Yeah, I might. I'll boo him.
Why would you boo Jalen Brown? Why?
I don't know. I think he kind of just, I didn't like the way he handled things at the end. He was taking shots at the, you know, JT. Come on, really, bro? Mm-hmm.
It's the best season ever. The guy was like begging to stay. Like, he loved Boston. How many times did he say he loved Boston?
Don't fall for it. No. We're not going to rehash this. He did not beg to stay. He was basically forcing his way out. He was shooting his way out of town. But then he acted like, oh, I threw the phone when I found out I was traded. That's exactly what you wanted. That was desired effect. He got exactly what he wanted. Was traded out of town. He wanted to go run his own team. He didn't want to play in the shadow of JT anymore. Come on, let's not relitigate this. Come on.
He helped the Celtics win a championship. He was the MVP of the finals. Listen, the other stuff, that's like,
season ever.
Once again, we're wasting the boo. There's real villains. He is not a villain. You know, here's what would be the funniest thing tonight. The funniest thing with Devers would be indifference. Like, standing ovation says, we love you. We don't. Booing says, you still live in my head. But, like, this polite golf clap just goes like, all right, thanks for 2018. Anyway, we've got a playoff race. See you later. Like, that would be really funny if people just kind of were like, okay, yeah, hey, Rafa.
Dude, that might be the worst reaction ever. It's like just some kind of nonchalant clap, like almost indifference.
Yeah, like, yeah. Like, yeah. Yeah, there you go.
Okay.
Okay, rank these three villains. First, worst to best. Jalen Brown, Rafael Devers, Tom Brady.
Oh, dude, it's not even close. It's JB, Rafael, and then Tom's last.
Oh, no,
Tom's definitely
first.
Last.
I would save my booze for Tom and his return.
What?
Yeah, so, are you kidding me? Have you heard? You heard Spillane this morning?
What?
Yeah, the organization.
Sorry, Spillane, bro, you've been here for, what, 2 minutes?
Well, he played in the Super Bowl that Brady worked against him to win. I mean, I think he's villain number one. Right, I mean, Devers is last on this list.
I need evidence on that. I need to know that 100% before I... pass judgment on that.
Ken, you just did a big market tease and you didn't even know it. If you didn't hear Josh McDaniels on with Rich Keefe and Mego earlier, he was asked about Tom Brady, the rumor of him helping out the Seahawks. Ted, have you heard this yet?
No.
Oh, okay. All right.
I mean, I've read the quotes. I haven't heard it yet.
Okay. You have to hear it, because, I mean, this is a thing that, like, you can tell from all these guys. They did not like the way Tom Brady had been acting with the whole, we have no dog in this fight, with the whole rumors of him helping, you know, the Seattle Seahawks. No. And once again, like, guys like Vrabel and obviously Josh McDaniels were close to Brady. And I'm telling you, I don't think they liked any of that stuff at all. When you've lost those guys, you know, who else you got? Who's your friends? All right, let's play that clip next. It's fantastic. So Josh McDaniels on, of course, the Patriots Friday. He was on earlier, and we will play his clip about what he thinks of Tom Brady allegedly helping out the Seahawks, and we'll do that in 2 minutes.
A guy that Drake will always be compared to, like, every quarterback that comes through here. There's a big statue of him, Tom Brady. made news in the offseason. We haven't had – none for you yet. We haven't had a chance to talk to you since this. When he said he didn't have a dog in the fight in the Super Bowl, did that bother you as an ex-teammate of his?
No. I mean, clearly Tom's gone out of his way to make it known that he's trying to – you know, he has a new job and a new role, and, you know, it is really what it is. Like, Tom's a friend. He'll always be a friend. He was a former teammate. But, I mean, he's made it clear, like, I'm doing something new now.
It is 93.7 WEEI. Rich, Ken, Ted Johnson. Later on in that interview, they asked him about, like, helping out the Seahawks and whether Brady did that. And Vrabel essentially said that he believed that he did. Am I misquoting him?
No. I mean, Jackson, great rejoin with Ozzy, Bark at the Moon. But you missed the money Vrabel there talking about, you know, whether he helped them win the Super Bowl. So
yeah.
But he did go on to say probably.
This was the dog in the fight question. It was right after that.
But yeah, it was interesting because, like, he, you know, now you've got Josh McDaniels say, you know, being asked about the same thing, and he goes, well, you know, I don't have a dog in that fight. It is funny, Ted. The more I think about it, the more that, boy, they all believe that Brady just has turned on them.
I wouldn't have a dog in that fight.
Oh, geez.
Yeah. Wow, man.
A couple texts, if I could read this for you guys.
Sure, of course.
Number one, 508 texter, Brady will have to come out of the booth. They honor Gronk at halftime, so maybe there is an opportunity to either boo or cheer Tom. However, Gronk's going to get, you know, just cheers out the wazoo.
Oh, so. I mean, is there anybody who's going to get cheered more? Him and, like, Ortiz, no. like the two right. guys that I think right now would get the biggest applause, without a question.
All right, separate 978 texture. I'd be perfectly fine taking the Brady statue down and sending it to Seattle. Tom can kiss my Irish Boston ass. What an ingrate.
Wow.
And then 207 texture, go ahead and boo Brady, but don't cry when he goes into the Hall of Fame a Buccaneer.
Oh, I mean, that would be the ultimate.
He wouldn't do what Vinatieri did. Would he?
Can you imagine?
Introduce him?
He played 22 years here and then two for the Bucs, and he goes in as a Buck. Oof, brutal. No. Who would induct Brady?
Probably Who's Bill. You don't want to hear it, but I bet you he has Bill do it.
Please.
I'm telling you.
Are you
those
kidding
Those two
me?
Are buddies now.
Oh, they are not.
Yes, they are.
Oh, they're not.
Unless you have info that I don't.
He's got you fooled, man.
You know why Bet's going to induct him? And this is a wild take. Peyton Manning.
Oh, jeez.
I think that that's his buddy.
Well,
I think that that's kind of that was his rival. And he's not going to pick anyone from the Patriots. There's no way he would pick anyone from the Patriots. And
he might do Edelman.
No, I don't think
or Gronk
he would do Edelman.
Yeah,
well,
he could.
Well, Gronk inducting would be hysterical. Please pick Gronk. That would be great. but I don't think that will happen. I think he might get Peyton. I know that's a long shot, but I believe he could do that.
Maybe Tara Reid. Just have her back.
Awesome. Bring her back.
Now that
What's
would be
Tara
nice.
Doing these days? Can you imagine? That would be tremendous.
Straight from the set of Sharknado 6.
Tremendous. Wow. Do you think this Brady maybe helping the Seattle Seahawks out is the, like the final nail and a nail in the coffin for him? Like, this is all of a sudden people have kind of flipped on Brady just because of this piece of information that we can't really confirm.
Unfortunately, they got their ass kicked. I think that's the other part of the McDaniels answer. Like, he goes on to say, you know, I could have coached better. Like, it didn't cost us the game. And you can't argue that. They lost so bad.
Yeah.
It can't. But if it was a close game and we found out that Brady helped them on a play that swung the game, then it might have been.
Yeah.
But I think it still counts. Like, I mean, but the thing is, it would be like, you know, someone's girlfriend going to another man's place, and the husband comes in and catches them on the bed, but they haven't quite done it yet.
Yeah,
it's
we were just kissing. We were just kissing, that's all.
Right. And all that matters is that it seems that Vrabel and Josh McDaniels believe that he did it. The way that they're talking about it sure does seem that way. Vrabel straight up, you know, seemed to say that.
But time heals most wounds, so if it's a smoke show, sometimes you take that person back. No, I mean, in like a couple of years after, you know. So.
Maybe that's the case, and they all hang out together. Oh, man. All right. 617-779-7937. We've got good old Rob Bradford. He's going to be joining us here in just a minute for the big homecoming of Rafael Devers and everyone.
And Marcelo Meyer. Poor Marcelo getting a short straw here.
Oh, I mean, you're right, boy.
What a career he had.
I forgot about that, actually, until you just mentioned that. Everyone's been talking so much about Devers. I forgot we got Marcelo Meyer. But there's going to be no reaction to Marcelo Meyer.
Well,
who?
I mean, it is kind of, it is interesting to see the reaction of him being traded was pretty much no reaction at all. I mean, that just says everything you need
former
to know about
Marcelo.
Former
fourth overall pick. I mean, this
I know, that's crazy.
Unreal.
Crazy.
Oh, yeah. I'm going to see him at Loco's Taqueria down in Southie. Where
you think he went to Portland to hang out with Roman last night? Maybe they hung out on the wharf down there?
I'm sure they did.
Went over to Peaks Island at a time?
Over to the Tuck? Nantucket?
Mm-hmm. Maybe they did. You know what? That's probably why Roman went 0 for 3, right? Didn't he go 0 for 3 last night?
0 for 3, but Middlebrook says don't worry about results, so I'm going to try to not focus on the results.
It's process. It's right. Process over results.
When we hit the homer, I was focused on that.
My favorite. Process over results.
We'll talk to Rob Bradford. He'll give us all the updates on Roman and Trevor Story and what happens when they get back, and we'll talk to him right after this. We got a homecoming of sorts. Yes, Rafael Devers returns. Marcelo Meyer, too, which I actually completely forgot about because everyone's been talking about Rafael. Will they boo him? But in studio with us now, a gentleman who's going to have his own kind of special night as well. The baseball isn't boring night right around the corner. Our own buddy Rob Bradford, brought to you by McFarland Energy, the region's most dependable provider of home heating oil delivery as well as expert HVAC services at McFarlandEnergy.com. So are you going to be standing there, Rob, and just bring the boo birds out when Rafael Devers shows up?
I mean, no, I'm orchestrating it from the standing up in the press box like like a conductor.
No booing in the press box.
No booing. Who knows? Who knows? We don't know what's going to happen, Ken. All I know is that you guys are awesome. I appreciate it. There's nobody I'd rather be talking to. McFarland to you all. Mm-hmm. And also RedSox.com/BIB. There's a few tickets left. So it's going to be a great night. Maybe Devers will be there, come back. Who knows? We don't know. Celebrating 2018 all over again. And that's my way of integrating. Let's remember 2018. Rafael Devers was a big part of that. They won a World Series. There's a reason he signed a $300 million contract, because he's a good player. Sure, he was overpaid. Sure, they would probably want that contract back. All of that. He was a very good player that did a lot of good things. Mm-hmm. Yeah. I will say this, though. I think there'll be more boos than cheers.
There will be, of course.
Yeah.
But, you know, but Rob, I said it earlier. You're cheapening the boo by booing Rafael Devers. Like, I mean, there's legitimate people that you boo, like Kyrie Irving, Matt Cook. You know, A-Rod, Roger Clemens as a Yankee. Like, these are all ones that are worth booing. Like, this dude just had a weird breakup at the end. But the guy's like the 10th best hitter in Red Sox history, and he helped you win a championship. It's like, come on. We used to be strict with our boos. We used to be somebody who, like, we were standards. What happened to us?
10th most home runs in Red Sox. Not the 10th best hitter.
I'm sorry. More home runs. I apologize. Of course.
He's a very good Ken. Come on. Don't semantics. He's very, very good.
I was on a roll there, Ken.
Sorry.
Yeah.
Sorry.
But
I want to be factually accurate.
It's funny because there's a part of me that said it's been a year. There's been like the time heals all wounds. If it was like this time last year, I think undeniably there'd be boos. Like, what do you mean you aren't going to pick up a glove? And then 2 days later, you're picking up a glove. Like, what is happening? But I will say this. Friday night at Fenway, we all understand. Like, Friday night at Fenway, it's a different crowd. It's a different demographic. And I do think that when people want to sort of enact their will on something and be heard and be the cool kids, it's not giving the polite clap and the cheer. It is being the boo. Mm. And that, you know, it comes back to the Contreras thing the other day. That whoever that was and people who did that, they're like, oh, look at me. I'm going to boo him. Mm-hmm. Do you think that, like, they actually believe that the guy should be booed? Probably not. So I do think there's that element we have to factor in with tonight's crowd, because it's Friday night and it's pour beer in my face night.
Bradfo, I got to ask you, do you feel like the Rafael Devers kind of story, it happened – in my mind, I'm curious if you feel the same way, so fast, like all of a sudden, you know, last spring training, here comes Alex Bregman. Oh, wait a minute. They want you to move to DH. And it was, and then all of a sudden, we want you to move to first. Have you ever seen like a fall from an athlete who was on top and then fall so fast?
No.
And then traded so fast.
No, he swung and missed. He saw 50 straight fastballs at one point in his career and, like, swung and missed at every one of them, and nobody, like, oh, he'll figure it out because he's a good hitter. He'll land where he's going to land. And he made more errors than anybody at third base for about three or four straight years. But they just
right.
To your point, like, they're like, okay, that's cool. That's fine. When you land at that moment, when we had the bench interview with Rafael Devers in spring training, and he's like, no. I mean, that was, okay, here we go. This is going to be different, and it didn't let off. What people forget about the Devers situation, they remember that. They remember the end. What they forget in spring training, the guy only played five Grapefruit League games.
Yeah.
Like, and then
I forgot he got off to a horrible start.
Not even a horrible, the worst start in the history of starts.
Yeah.
I mean, struck out whatever it was, 17 to 19 plate appearances. and that's a terrible look when you wouldn't play in a Grapefruit League game.
Yeah. Good point.
You're and right. so this You're right. is all of it led up to it. And then for me, the last straw was really, you know, You call out Breslow, and then you say, I'm not going to pick up a glove. I'm not even going to work at a first. We need a first baseman. I don't care. Yeah. And then 2 days later that you're with the Giants, you're doing that exact thing. But to your point, Ted, you're absolutely right. It from that moment where it was before and after that bench interview.
Mm-hmm.
And it was wild because another thing, I was actually talking to my co-owner, Joe, coming in. I remember he'd already said this. When they had the Tyler Austin fight, when they had the bench clear against the Yankees.
Joe Kelly, you're talking about.
Yeah, Joe, yeah. CEO Joe. Yeah, so.
Oh, I just like how you toss that out there. Just Joe.
Nice. Just Joe.
Well, I mean, listen.
Says, I mean, he's kind of a famous guy there, Rob Bradford.
He will be on September 2nd. But I will say this. I always remember him saying this about Devers. In that fight, Devers was the guy above everybody. He identified as the guy who ran in. Who wanted to basically say, okay, and think about that. He was like, what, 21, 22, 23, whatever he was. But Joe always identified Devers because they had a team meeting after that fight to call out people. Say, hey, it's not good when the bullpen coach is beating in the outfielders to the brawl. But Devers and Mitch Moreland were the two guys he identified, said those guys were dogs when it came to that stuff. And that's the thing that sort of has come and went when it comes to Rafael Devers.
Yeah. Now, real quick, I know you just went on San Francisco radio. They interviewed you, not vice versa, but what do they think about Devers? You get any vibe of what? No comment.
No, I think they're apathetic to the season, right? No, I mean, I think
he's not having a bad season though. Like he's hitting dogs. Yeah. He's just striking out a lot.
It's a terrible park for him. We knew that was going to be the case. We knew that the contract wasn't going to last or be a good one for them. But at the same time, I'll go back to a year ago or whenever he was traded, and I went on that same station and like, listen, like how can you not be happy if you're a Giants fan? There's only so many guys in the game who can do what Rafael Devers does. When he's at his best, and that's middle of the order presence. And by the way, this team could still use him. I don't care what is said. This team, when you get to the postseason, you need the alphas that the other team has to get through. The Judges, Mickey the Ohtanis, Gasper. The Mickey Gaspers.
Like, the guy's hot.
Yeah, yeah. Well,
I mean, Alex Seagulls.
Yeah, so, yeah.
Yeah, Tony Seagulls, yeah. Those guys.
Don't rip Tony. Why are you so down on Seagulls?
Dude, I'm just waiting.
I thought you liked them. I thought you were a big Seagull guy.
I did. I'm just worried about the postseason. That's all.
All right. Okay.
These guys coming through in the postseason.
Well, he might not be on the roster, so you won't have to worry about
that's my point.
Yeah.
Mickey Gasper, a.k.a. WB Mason, will. He'll be up there. I'm telling you.
Yeah. Chin spinach. Bombs. I like that. Yeah.
That's right. Absolutely. All right. Speaking of people on this team who were on this team and are on this team who get booed, let's talk a little bit about Contreras. First of all, get to hear, I forget what her name was. I think it was Maureen who was on with us yesterday. She was in the stands.
Yeah, I did. Yeah.
I do like the fact that she kind of turned the narrative on its head and, you know, told the story about how this dude in the crowd with his 12-year-old son, which is hysterical, he's doing it for his son, was like picking fights. With Garrett Whitlock. And they were turning around. This happened well before Contreras came over. So Contreras, you know, ends up getting that out. And when he walked over, he heard this guy jawing at the pitchers and was just like, come on, dude, give it up. So he was essentially like sticking up for his pitchers and wasn't like instigating anything and doing all that. But it is interesting how the crowd booed him despite you know, the Chad Tracy saying that they had a discussion that he wasn't 100%. What did you think of all that at that point?
Yeah, I said this yesterday. People may get upset over this. Like, I think the crowd booing him, they're idiotic. Like, in this case. Because when you did it before, maybe you don't have all the information. It is what it is. Like, he was banged up. Maybe you don't understand that. All you do is you know that your team's on a heater, everybody's busting their butt, and all of a sudden you see this guy not running out the ball, initial reaction to boo. But then you hear about, okay, this is the reality of the situation. It is the reality of the situation. There is a reason why this guy hasn't been as good as he has been, because he's banged up from stem to stern. That's fine. So when it happens again, to boo, like, okay, dude, like, it's okay. And by the way, if anyone wants to go back to last year, when Alex Bregman came back and he had a bad hamstring, go look at him running down the line. I mean, not even running down the line.
Right. Mm-hmm.
Yeah. This is how it is.
That's true. He dogged it a lot.
Well, they told him to.
Right.
They literally told him, say, don't run hard to first base.
But he missed, I mean, almost 2 months of playing, right?
Yeah, well, he came back. He came back probably too early. And this is one of the things with Contreras. It's like, not to say he had the same thing as Bregman, but the guy is banged up. And I do think, from what I know and seen of the guy, he is a guy who plays through stuff. Mm-hmm. And he reminds me a lot of Adrian Beltre a few years ago, where, you know, Adrian Beltre would have a severed hamstring and come out back the next day. I don't even know how that's possible. But he reminds me of him. But it comes back to the booing thing, Rich. I'm like, mm-hmm. I'm just like, hey, man, like, you guys – it is what it is. I don't understand, like, booing that guy with the benefit of the doubt that we should be giving him this point.
Do you think players care about that stuff?
Oh, I mean, you don't get booed, right? Your team gets booed.
Yeah, because you're not highlighted. Just like in baseball, you walk up to the plate to hit.
Kickers get booed.
Kickers, right? Yeah. So it's everyone's out there. You don't know who you're booing if it's all 11 are out there. Yeah. Who are we booing at, kind of thing, you know? So where baseball, it's clear who you're booing at.
Yeah, and I think that the tack that he took was Boston fans are the best, you know, passion. And it comes back to what they were saying the first 2 months of the season when they were saying sell the team. And you had multiple guys in there saying, hey, dude, like, we don't want to hear that. But this is our lot in life. This is the bed that we made.
Yeah.
And if because we are playing bad, that is why they are doing these chants. This is why they're booing us. So they're going to keep leaning on the passion of this. That's what Contreras did. Mm-hmm. But yeah, human nature. I mean, you don't want to, especially when you're like in first place.
You're right. No,
the
you're
best
not,
player
right.
on the team.
You're right.
By the way, my favorite part of that story was allegedly Jaron Duran walked up when he heard all those, the Garrett Whitlock getting razzed, and just turned around and then thought better of it and went back down into the dugout.
He's learning.
Everybody's learning.
He's learning. Growth.
He's learning. All right. Speaking of Wilson Contreras, we asked him about the return of Roman Anthony, and I thought his answer was just telling, because it is going to be a strange process having Roman, Trevor Story, and all these guys return. And I got to get your take on where they go, who stays, who goes, how you think it's going to go, and what the success rate's going to. It's definitely a complicated thing that Chad Tracy's getting thrown at him, and I want to get your take on it. We'll be back in 2 minutes with Rob Bradford.